Chapter 7
Fuckers of mothers!
Mira declared, and she twirled her spear and held it behind her as she crouched into a fighting position.
I should have known there'd be more of these things. There's no way they would have just sent this little runt to take on an entire party of strangers.
Hey, the teenage boy growled. I could have taken all of you on my own if she hadn't sneak-punched me.
Keep telling yourself that.
Mirella rolled her eyes. My daughter produced her sea-glass dagger from her belt, and then she threw her leg over the boy's chest and used her knees to pin him to the ground. Mirella held her dagger to the kid's throat and smirked before she looked up at me for some sort of confirmation.
Leave him be,
I ordered the girl as I tightened my grip on my sword. He's just protecting his territory. He's not really that dangerous.
I'll skewer you through the heart, invader,
the boy threatened, but then he went silent when Mirella's dagger pressed tighter against his jugular.
I'd suggest you step away from the child.
A firm yet soothing voice warned from amongst the neon plants.
I know you're just a young one yourself, but we will not hesitate to cut you down.
Try it,
Nadir declared with an evil grin.
No, seriously, I haven't had a good fight in days.
Nadir got her wish. From the northern side of our circle sprang out a woman who couldn't have been more than 5'6" or 5'7". Her head had the same strange hair-spine hybrid material as the boy, though the silver locks on her head wrapped around the side of her face like an undercut. The woman's face was equally as long as the child's, with the same round nose and oval ears, and she twirled a double-sided wooden spear as she passed through the air, which she promptly brought down in the direction of Nadir. Nadir let out a chitter as she twisted to the left, used her momentum to make a full 360, and then lashed out with her stone axe. But the hedgehog-looking woman was quick on her feet and was able to leap back before the blade made contact with her skin. Now that she was exposed, I noticed her clothing was nothing like the boy's. Instead of a burlap sack tied around her body, two leaves from the neon plants were held around her breasts by a thin strap of twine. Her bottoms were equally as natural, and they consisted of a single wide leaf wrapped around her lady parts and tied up at the waist. It was actually pretty ingenious. Their clothes allowed them to blend right in with the rest of the world around them, to the point where we hadn't even been aware of their presence until they attacked. Sadly, I didn't have much time to gawk, because another one of the hedgehog women revealed herself just a few feet away from my position. This one had blonde locks that were much longer than the first woman's, and they cascaded down onto her shoulder like a waterfall of cactus needles. Then, without warning, she took a running jump forward and jabbed her pointed stick right at my heart. I parried the attack with my clear blade, kicked up my foot, and slammed it into her stomach. The woman let out an
"Don't care!"
as she tumbled back onto the ground, but her momentum didn't stop there. She curled herself up into a ball, rolled a few feet away, and then popped up to her feet with her stick at the ready. The blonde warrior remained stone-faced as she twirled her weapon around in her hands, and she got the stick moving so fast her arms turned into a wooden propeller. While I was distracted by the twirling stick of the woman in front of me, two more attackers dashed out from my left and right at the same time. They both had the same leaf clothes and spiny hair, but these new women had locks of brown and pink, respectively. I was just able to duck underneath the attack of the first hedgehog woman before I jumped into the air to avoid the sweeping kick that came at me from the ground. I landed flat on my ass and then rolled to the right as a spear tip came stabbing down onto the spot where my head had just been. Without missing a beat, I twisted my body, rotated up onto my knees, and threw up my sword horizontally, seconds before another spear stick came down on me. I let out a grunt of frustration as I pushed to my feet and knocked the brown-haired woman backward, and then I took a swing at her stomach with my blade. She twirled out of the way of the attack, and before I had a chance to even recover, her spear tip jabbed at my shoulder. I leaned back quickly enough to avoid the incoming blow, but this woman was fast as fuck. Before I could even reset my stance, she came back around with the other side of her stick, and all I could do was haphazardly block. The impact from her attack knocked me off balance, so I fell down to the ground and instantly rolled away from the next onslaught. I didn't know who these women were, but they were agile, and they were relentless. Mira and Batari attempted to engage with the blonde hedgehog woman from before, while Awara sparred with our pink-haired enemy. Two more of the hedgehog women had emerged from the forest as well. One of them was much shorter than the rest, though it seemed only to make her fiercer. She had short, spiky black hair and the speed of a fucking tweaker as she assaulted Lazan with a fierce battle cry. Then there was a fifth woman, one with dirty blonde spikes atop her head like she'd just stuck her finger in an electrical socket. Theora and Ashanti kept her on the ropes with an endless assault of arrows, but the hedgehog woman just knocked them away with a few twirls of her staff. Seriously, the way these women moved and fought made me feel like Duel of the Fates needed to be playing right now. All three of our dragons had formed a protective circle around Mirella and Jonas. We knew they were both integral to our mission, and they were also the weakest fighters of the group. They had to be protected at all costs. The brown-haired hedgehog woman scowled at me as she began to pace back and forth like a frustrated tiger, and now that there was a lull in our skirmish, I could take in my opponent in more detail. Her brown hair sat atop her head like a tall nest of chocolate flames as her green eyes locked with mine, and her pale lips were twisted into a deadly scowl, which was framed perfectly by her round cheeks. "I'm not your enemy," I tried to explain, but she wasn't having it.
"You brought those beasts to our island. You tried to kill the prince. For that, you will die."
"My dragons are harmless," I began, but I was cut off instantly when my opponent lunged forward and made her next move. The hedgehog woman took a stab at my foot, which I quickly knocked away with my sea glass blade. But she took the parry in stride as she twisted her body around and roundhouse kicked me right in the fucking face. A wave of pain shot through my left cheek as my head was whipped to the left, but I already knew I didn't have time to recover. I lashed out at the woman blindly and felt my blow get knocked away, and then I jerked my body to the right to avoid the incoming skewer.
"You're fast,"
the brunette woman growled.
"Too bad I'm faster."
My head whipped around as she took another shot at me, but this time I was ready. I moved my body out of the way of her stick before it could impale me with its spike, and before she could pull it away, I threw out my empty hand, grabbed the stick, and yanked the woman toward me as I reared back my head. The last thing I remembered seeing was her eyes go wide before I headbutted her with all my might. Stars shot across my vision as a wave of pain crashed through my skull, but my sudden attack had worked. The hedgehog woman fell down onto the ground and held her own head in both hands as she rolled around and groaned in pain.
"You don't have to be faster," I explained as I tossed her stick off to the side. "You just have to be more clever."
As I turned to see how the rest of the battle was going, I witnessed the silver-haired hedgehog woman kick Nadir into one of the glowing neon plants. Some neon-colored sap splashed out onto the ground, and I could almost see the gears whirring in Nadir's head as she observed it oozing out. Then the raven-haired Kunag woman sidestepped an attack from her opponent, reached up, and squeezed the leaf with all her strength. A quick splash of the neon sap sprayed into the hedgehog woman's face, and she let out a yelp of surprise as she stumbled back and tried to wipe it away. Nadir pounced on top of the silver-haired attacker, but even without her sight, the hedgehog woman was ready. The spiky-haired woman slammed her knee up into Nadir's armor-covered stomach, grabbed her by the wrists, and tossed her into the air like a rag doll. Nadir's arms and legs flailed as she passed through the sky, but there was nothing for her to grab hold of, and the raven-haired woman let out a frustrated snarl as she crashed into a neon plant from above and became entangled in its stem. Without missing a beat, the hedgehog woman turned and charged straight for the circle of dragons. Fuck! Charging three dragons! This silver-haired woman had some balls.
Should I turn her into charbroil?
Tyrion asked with a hint of confusion in his voice.
Don't kill her, I explained to all three of the dragons telepathically.
But try to make it look like you're trying to kill her.
Yeah.
Saren snorted.
That should be easy.
The adolescent water dragon took a step forward, inhaled deeply, and then fired her water cannon of a mouth in the direction of the approaching hedgehog woman. The silver-haired warrior simply sprang up into the air and launched her stick down at Saren's skull. Thankfully, Tyrion was ready, and there was a short burst of flames as the woman's spear was turned into ash instantly, seconds before it would have impaled Saren. The silver-haired hedgehog woman stuck her feet out into a point, slammed them into Saren's head, and then used the water dragon's skull like a springboard as she catapulted forward. Saren let out a huff as her chin slammed into the ground, and then the purple dragon collapsed onto her stomach in a daze.
Hold on there, lady!
Swa'er warned as he slithered into her pathway.
You're not going any further!
The wind dragon sucked in a breath and prepared his powerful gust of wind, but the hedgehog woman was completely unfazed. She reached down into a leafy pouch on her waistband and then came up with a handful of glowing teal powder, and I watched in awe as she threw it into Swa'er's face. Since the dragon was already inhaling, the dust was sucked into his lungs, and the little guy began to hack and wheeze like he was having a fit of allergies. He started to wobble around in the air for a brief second before he collapsed onto the ground, limp.
Swa'er!
Tyrion gasped. As the silver dragon prepared another shot of fire breath, the hedgehog woman grabbed onto Swa'er's unconscious body. Then she picked the wind dragon up by the tail, spun around like she was about to throw a discus, and hurled him up at Tyrion. Tyrion quickly turned his fiery breath to the sky to avoid roasting Swa'er, and then grunted as the wind dragon's body slammed into his own. Okay, this woman just took down three dragons on her own. It was time for me to step in. I took off in a full sprint as I readied my sea glass sword, but in the meantime, Jonas must have decided it was time to get brave. The elder dragonkin stepped between Morella and the charging woman, held his dagger feebly with two hands, and stared her down. He took a step toward her, and she instantly grabbed onto his wrist. Then the silver-haired woman yanked him forward, swept his legs out from underneath his body, and shoved him down onto the ground, hard. Shit.
Don't come any closer!
Morella warned, as she continued to hold on to the boy. The hedgehog woman halted in her tracks, but I could tell she already had something insidious up her sleeve.
My dear,
her angelic voice pleaded.
Please let the boy go. He only meant to save you from those horrific beasts. I don't need saving,
Morella growled.
You should really listen to her, the hedgehog boy added. Maybe she'll let you go in one piece if—
Did I say you could talk?
My daughter spat and pressed the dagger harder against his throat. And the boy shut up instantly.
I don't know who you are,
the silver-haired hedgehog woman continued as she subtly reached into her bag.
But you don't get to come to this island and threaten my son like that. Step away now, or I'm afraid I'll have to—
Her sentence trailed off as I crept up behind her and held my blade up to her throat, even though I didn't intend to use it at all. I just hope she didn't call my bluff. Take your hand out of that pouch, slowly. We don't mean you any harm, but we can't really talk this out if all you try to do is kill us.
That's rich,
the silver-haired woman chuckled.
Coming from the man with a sword against my neck.
Take your hand out of the pouch. Then I'll take the sword away from— Before I could finish my sentence, the heel of the hedgehog woman's foot slammed into my stomach. All the breath in my lungs erupted from my mouth as I stumbled backward, and the woman tried to take out my feet. Thankfully, I was ready. I jumped over her attack, threw up my own boot, and kicked her square in the chest.
Mom!
The brown-haired boy gasped as he watched the scene unfold. The silver-haired woman cried out in pain as she fell back into the glowing dirt, crawled backward, and then looked over at Morella and the boy. For the first time since this battle had begun, I saw something that softened my heart. As the hedgehog woman locked eyes with the boy, her dark pools were full of dread and fear. Let him go, Morella.
What? Dad, you don't have to be a soothsayer to see what'll happen if I do that.
Let him go, I reiterated. Morella's lips pursed as she pondered the decision, but after a second or two, she relaxed her body, took a deep breath, and pulled her knife away from the kid's neck. The second she got off the boy, he jumped up to his feet and ran over to his mother. He wrapped his arms around her in a loving embrace as tears billowed at the corners of his eyes.
I'll kill him for this, Mom,
the boy promised, but the hedgehog woman shook her head.
There's no need for that, Killan,
the silver-haired lady noted.
They had us both right where they wanted us, yet we're still breathing. I believe this scaly man is being truthful when he says he means us no harm.
No harm?
The boy, apparently named Kaelan, argued.
They fight alongside great bees.
You attacked us, idiot!
Morella reminded the boy.
I was trying to say... You know what? Never mind.
The silver-haired hedgehog woman stood from the ground, held up her hand in a fist, and then let out a high-pitched squealing noise. Instantly, the rest of the hedgehog women stopped their combat and looked to this lady for further instructions.
Stand down, ladies. There's been a grave mistake. These people are not our enemies.
One by one, the hedgehog women begrudgingly put away their pointed staffs. They then moved over to where the silver-haired woman, who I had now deduced was their leader, stood. At the same time, my crew joined me. They all looked beyond exhausted, though I couldn't help but chuckle when I saw Nadir was still covered from head to toe in a teal, neon-colored sap.
You're really going to need a bath?
Lizanne snickered.
I bet you're going to be finding bits of that stuff in your fur for weeks. Watch it,
Nadir warned.
Or I'll throw you into one of those plants. I'm sorry.
The silver-haired hedgehog woman sighed.
But I had no choice. You were a very formidable opponent, and I couldn't let our hand-to-hand battle continue. You would have easily won.
Did you hear that?
Lizanne grinned.
You would have won if you hadn't gotten doused in glowing goo.
Nadir shot Lizanne a look that could peel paint, but the kunag second-in-command didn't bat an eye.
Let's try this again.
The hedgehog woman leader declared.
My name is Pei, Magnus Du of the Spindrels.
That's a whole lot of words I don't know.
Ashanti interjected in a sarcastic tone.
Tattles be damned!
Batari blurted out as she held Swaer's tiny body in her hands.
Is he gonna be okay?
The furry one will be fine.
Pei reassured Batari.
The dust I hit him with was only a sleeping powder. Give an hour or so and he'll be completely back to normal.
Sleeping powder?
Batari sputtered.
My shaman's made sleeping powder before, but never anything this quick to activate or quite this powerful.
Batari demonstrated the dust's potency when she grabbed Swaer by the scruff of his neck, lifted his head a few inches into the air, and then let him go. The little dragon's head fell into Batari's hand like a stone, and the impact caused it to bounce gently against her palm. Still, all the wind dragon did was twitch his noodly whiskers and let out a long, deep sigh as he continued to lay there like a limp noodle.
It took some time to perfect. The root of the Lumino plant is quite a fickle substance. It's certainly much more effective than our previous mixture.
The hedgehog woman with the blonde undercut added.
How many times did I tell you the Lumino roots were more potent than the leaves? It was foretold to me. You said it 1,000 times, Valea.
The woman with the short, black, spiky hair snorted.
But to acknowledge it as true would mean we'd have to also believe that you talk to plants.
I do not talk to plants, Shala.
Valea sighed and crossed her arms across her chest.
I tap into the natural auras that surround them, which allows me to sense their current state and their potential futures.
So you talk to plants.
Shala snickered.
I'm glad we clarified that. Tell me, if I walk over and cut off the leaf of that Lumino over there, is it going to get its feelings hurt?
There will be a powerful vibrational change in its aura. Though a plant cannot feel pain, it would act out as if it were distressed.
Mom! Kaelan huffed. Aren't you going to ask them about the...
The hedgehog boy flapped his arms and nodded his head toward Tyrion and Charon. Charon must not have appreciated the oh-so-subtle reference because her eyes narrowed, and she puffed out a tiny breath of mist. Kaelan let out a yelp as he ducked behind his mother.
I was just getting to that.
Pei reassured him, and then she turned back to us.
Though it is clear to us now that you are no enemy of the Spindrel, we cannot help but wonder why you brought these creatures to our land.
Tyrion, Charon, and Swaer are my friends, and they are all loyal bondmates to my crew members. Wherever we go, the dragons follow.
Dragons.
The brown-haired woman I had fought with mused.
That's what they're called?
My adrenaline spiked when I heard the hedgehog woman's words. You've encountered these creatures before? I asked as I whipped my head in her direction.
Indeed.
She nodded.
Large creature. Burnt down a large part of the Lumino Forest. What Alvi here is trying to say,
Pei interjected,
is that we are no strangers to these sorts of beasts. The dragon we know, however, is far from a friend. The absolute opposite, to be precise. It has tried to eat us more times than I can count.
Then maybe we can be of assistance. I am the Draco Rex, also known as the Dragon King by my people.
Dragon King?
The pink-haired hedgehog woman raised an eyebrow.
That explains the scales all over your body.
These ones, too?
Alvi pointed between Mira, Jonas, and Mirella. They are, I nodded. Mirella is my daughter, and Mira is my mate. I then proceeded to go around the circle and introduce all of my crewmates to the Spindrel women. I gave them all a brief overview of our story, from me washing up on the beach of the Dragonkin Island, to the orc invaders, to the most recent adventures with the Chero. Of course, we concluded with the fact that we came to this island in hopes of solving their dragon problem. The hedgehog women returned the favor, and I soon learned the woman with dirty blonde, straight-spiked hair was named Ura, and the sassy, pink-haired spindrel was Arel.
It's a pleasure to meet all of you.
Pei concluded when we were done with introductions.
And I am glad to hear you can help us rid our home of this dragon beast.
That's the plan. By the time we're done here, your island will be safe, sound, and 100% dragon-free. That's the Draco Rex money-back guarantee.
Money-back guarantee?
Pei questioned, but I simply ignored her query. So, tell me, Pei, Jonas interjected. When did this dragon first come to your home?
30 sunsets ago.
Valea noted.
We all remember like it was yesterday, however.
30 days ago, I muttered to myself as I tried to do some calculations in my head. We'd attempted to bond with the dragons on the volcanic island a little over a month ago, so the timeline would have matched up.
What did it look like?
Mira jumped in.
Was it an adolescent or an adult?
If it was an adolescent...
Shala guffawed.
I don't want to see what a full-grown one looks like. So, it is an adult dragon.
Mira confirmed.
Was it fat? Elderly? Did it have any strange patterns on its body?
We've never seen such a beast before.
Pei sighed.
I could not tell you how its characteristics matched up to other dragons, because I don't know what a regular dragon looks like.
Other than this silver guy right here.
Aurel pointed to Tyrion.
The terror of the skies is certainly much bigger than him. Much, much bigger.
I'll have you know I'm big for my age.
Tyrion grumbled.
So it's not the baby or the partially grown ones.
Jonas clapped his hands together and smiled.
Do you know what this means, Draco Rex?
It's gonna be a bitch to try and tame him. Or her. Even though I was being sarcastic, I shared in Jonas's excitement. Marilla's vision had already hinted at this island hosting a full-grown dragon, and this was a final confirmation. If we really pulled this off successfully, we were going to have a giant, fire-breathing lizard on our side. The orcs wouldn't stand a fucking chance.
Do you have any idea where the dragon is hiding out? In my vision, he was in a dark space, almost like a cave or a tunnel or...
My daughter trailed off when she realized the hedgehog women were chuckling at her.
I'm sorry, dear.
Ura laughed.
It's just that most of the creatures on this island live in tunnels or caves. There's nowhere safe to dwell above the ground, especially now that there's a fire breather who can fly above it all.
Not safe?
Batari asked, as she slung Swa'er over her shoulder like a scarf.
Are we in danger right now?
Not at the moment.
Pei confirmed.
However, it would be unwise to stay out in the open like this for very long.
What are you talking about?
Ashanti scoffed as she looked around.
We're completely covered by the canopy of these glowing plants.
They must have just got here.
Shala noted to her leader before she placed her hands on her hips and looked back at us.
You don't know what happens around dusk, do you?
We only got here early this morning,
Fiora declared more proudly than she probably needed to.
The luminos will fold upon themselves,
Valea explained, as she pointed to the plants around us.
After a long day of charging in the sun, their cores glow brighter than the brightest star. At dusk, they fold their leaves so they can hold all of that energy inside and channel it to their roots.
Which means no cover,
Alvi added, as she pointed to the sky.
Completely exposed.
exposed to what, exactly?
We're gonna hope you don't find out.
Pei interjected.
That is why we must take you back to our home at once. None of us like being out this close to dusk,
Errol said, and the pink-haired woman wrinkled her nose.
But when we saw you all flying up above us, we thought the dragon might have called in more of his friends, and we needed to come investigate.
What we didn't expect, however,
Pei chuckled,
was my son would be so bombastic and in a rush to fight. I assure you we are quite a peaceful race.
Tell that to my bruised, sap-covered body,
Nadir grumbled, as she wrung neon goo out of her tail like a wet towel.
I thought the lady was in danger,
Kaelon explained and pointed to Mirella.
I wasn't gonna just sit back and let those scaly creatures eat her, so I came to her rescue.
Oh, how'd that work out for you?
Mirella snarked with a smirk.
I would have easily dispatched the dragons if you hadn't caught me off guard, the brown-haired kid argued.
I've eaten bigger creatures than you as an appetizer,
Charon remarked, though only those of us with a dragon bond could hear her. Mirella chuckled at the water dragon's comments, which caused Kaelon's face to fall into a frown.
Are you communicating with the creature? What is it saying?
It's called a dragon bond.
Mirella rolled her eyes.
I can talk to all three of these guys mentally, as well as anyone else who's bonded with a dragon. It's like I'm reading their mind.
Well then,
Kaelon puffed out his chest.
Perhaps I should get one of those dragon bonds myself.
Yeah.
My daughter trailed off and looked at Sharon disparagingly.
I think I'm good.
What's wrong?
The preteen boy waggled his eyebrows.
You don't think he can handle what's going on up here? I don't blame you. It's pretty intense.
If I had to wager, it's about as intense as my sister Oshina's swordsman skills.
Is that good, or...
She's a toddler.
My daughter explained.
So she fights like a toddler.
Hold on a minute. My eyes narrowed as I observed the scene before me. I swore there was something off about the way Kaelan was interacting with Mirella. The way his eyes darted from my daughter to the ground as he spoke. The strange nervous tremble in his voice. The over-exaggeration of his accomplishment. Oh, hell no. The little punk was crushing on Mirella big time. My paternal instincts kicked in as I stepped in front of the hedgehog kid and crossed my arms across my chest. You don't actually read their minds, I warned. Not without their consent, which is a very, very important thing I hope your mother has taught you about before.
Of course, sir.
Kaelan gave me a firm nod.
I would never invade somebody else's privacy without their permission first.
That's the right answer. I grumbled with a raised eyebrow. Just keep that in mind, because people who don't get consent first find themselves chopped up into little bits in the belly of a water dragon.
I know that. Of course I know that.
Dad!
Mirella hissed.
Stop it! I can handle myself!
Stop what? I glanced back at my daughter. I'm just teaching the boy some life lessons. Life lessons he'd better listen to if he wants to keep all his appendages attached to his body.
Dad! Ugh!
My daughter rolled her eyes so hard I was surprised they didn't pop out of her head.
He's definitely not going into my belly.
Sharon shuddered.
He's so scrawny, I don't think he'd suffice for even a midnight snack.
Tell me about it.
Mirella giggled with a whisper.
Talk about a lean bean.
Kaelan must have somehow heard my daughter's comments, because he instantly puffed out his chest and flexed what little muscles he had on his lanky body. Oh yes, this new dynamic was going to make this adventure much more interesting than normal.
We must get going,
Pei announced, as she flipped a bit of the silver hair out of her face and headed to the west.
It'll be nightfall soon. We certainly don't want to be out here when the luminos fold up.
My friends and I all exchanged cautious glances, until I gave the signal it was safe to follow. These hedgehog women may have just been trying to kill us, but what else was new? It felt like somebody tried to kill us on every single island we'd ever been on. And if I refused to trust somebody just because they tried to kill me, well, then I wouldn't really have any of these women at my side right now. We moved through the forest of neon leaves as stealthily as we could. And although I tried my best to keep my mind off Kaelan and his infatuation with my daughter, I couldn't help but notice how he kept glancing at her the entire time we walked. So I kept my eyes on him, too. After about an hour of travel, the spindrel women all came to a halt at the foot of a large bushy plant that stretched out nearly 50 feet to the east and the west. The bush glowed with a lime-green shimmer that spread out across its tightly packed branches, like veins of color. But the formation must not have been more than 6 feet tall. "This is your home?" I questioned with a raised eyebrow. "How do you all fit in here?"
"This isn't our home,"
Pei chuckled.
"This is just the main entrance. Now, if you'll..."
Before the silver-haired beauty could finish her sentence, the world went dark.
"Nightfall shouldn't be for another hour,"
Ura noted. Then the air became filled with a strange, cawing noise, which was accompanied by the sound of ruffling feathers.
"Tambori's tusks,"
Batari gasped as she looked up to the sky.
"It's not the sun setting at all."
I glanced upward and my heart sank instantly. The sky was blacked out by a massive flock of birds. Birds that were the size of a frickin' pony, each with giant, razor-sharp talons and beaks so curved I thought they were scythes at first. These must have been the things we were trying to avoid, and now? One of the great terrors of the spindrel world had found us.